I am delighted here today to be able to speak to you on the subject of In His Steps. I think it's in your bulletin. You'll see it there displayed. In His Steps. In the book of 1 John, toward the back of your Bible, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, there are some words I'd like you to get which form the basis for our subject. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Beloved, no new commandment write I unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the truth, true light, is already shining. We'll stop there. In his steps. You know, the way one walks says a lot about that person. You remember a couple of years ago when the new walk that all the kids seemed to be saddled with became very prevalent. Everybody was walking with a walk with a hop, and a hop. Parents had a hard time trying to tell children, don't walk like that. So the way one walks has a lot to do with our character. Now, how do you walk? Remember when your child was young, a baby just beginning his first steps? You were very careful as to how he walked. He stumbled, he wobbled, or she, and then finally he got his stride and his walk became his walk. Now, how did Jesus walk? We read in the Gospels that when Christ carried the cross up to Golgotha, no wonder he stumbled. No wonder he wobbled under the weight of the cross, which he bore for our sins. It became very clear in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. A wonderful portrayal. When we saw Jesus Christ in that portrayal, wobbling and stumbling and actually fell. And you know the story, he was whipped. He was told to get up and to walk until the young man from Cyrene came and helped him with the cross. In the Psalms, it is said in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. SPS, specific purpose statement, is walk as Jesus walked. Walk as Jesus walked. I want to point out to you today four ways Jesus walked. And I want you to walk the same way. After all, we're supposed to be following Jesus, aren't we? We're supposed to be walking in his footsteps. How did Jesus walk? Point one, Jesus walked knowing who he was. Do you know who you are? If you're following Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. Jesus knew from the beginning he was the Son of God. And you and I, if we're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we must know that we are the children of God, the sons of God. You remember when John, on that day, saw Jesus walking toward him in John 1:29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John, his cousin, knew that Jesus Christ was going to be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. So he said, "Behold." The word "behold" means look. The Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And for Christ to take away our sins, we've got to submit to him and strive to be what he would have us to be. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Jesus knew who he was. And we, if we're going to follow Christ all the way, ought to know who we are. John 14 and verse 6. Again, a declaration by Christ. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Jesus knew who he was. Some religions say, why do Christians are so boastful? Why do they think that only Jesus Christ is the way? There are many ways to God, they tell us. Jesus said, "I am the way." Not several. "I am the way." Because Jesus knew who he was. He was the Son of God, and he had come to take away our sins. In other words, Christ, like you, should have a relationship with God. Several times throughout the Gospels, we read that Jesus talked to the Father. He communed with him. You and I can do no less, brethren, than to maintain, to establish, firstly, a relationship with God. That we can call on God any time of the day, no matter where you are, knowing that God will hear us and that God will answer our prayers in accordance with his will. So we need like Christ, for he had a relationship with God, and so should we. Not only did he have a relationship with God, he had a responsibility to God. Do you feel that way about your conversion, about your calling, about your relationship to God? You have got to be responsible for God, to God. You can't do what everybody else is doing. Why? Because you're special. You've been specially called. You've been called by God to be a member of the God family, believe it or not. So you have a responsibility to God. I was looking at the news this week, the horrible news in Paris. The young man that kidnapped, shot up 12 people, and then ran off. Why, if you're that bad and brave, why would you run? But they ran. They ran into the forest, into the woods. And they thought they were safe. A couple of days after, another young man killed a policed woman. The very young man also held up a supermarket and declared he too was Al-Qaeda. And I'm saying to my wife, to myself, why would he get into the fray? He felt he had a responsibility to his faith, his religion, that he had to get into it too. Miles away, he proclaimed himself to be Al-Qaeda, took over the supermarket, and held those people there hostage. Do you, brethren, realize that you have a responsibility to stand for what you believe? You have a responsibility to get into the fray and be a part of the work of God. Get in. Get your feet wet. Of course, we know that they were all killed, except his wife, who, as far as we knew up to this morning, is still under lam. She's running for her life. Brethren, Jesus had a responsibility to God. Jesus had a relationship with God. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. Point two. Jesus knew what he had to do. It never was cloudy in the mind of Jesus Christ what he was here for. He knew John 3:16. As a matter of fact, he quoted it to Nicodemus. He knew what he had to do. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Jesus not only knew who he was, Jesus knew what he had to do. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Jesus not only knew who he was, he knew what he had to do. Do you know what you have to do? Are you a wanderer? Or do you know, as a converted person, you've got to be a shining light. You've got to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In 1996, there was a summer games, Olympic games, and different participating nations had their representatives there to bring home the gold. The American team had a boxing team, boxing side. The Cubans were greatly feared because of their fierce competitors. The American team went out there and strove to get the gold. The first couple of fights with the inexperienced, if you can call them so, boxers, the American team was losing terribly. And everybody was becoming disenchanted, disappointed, frustrated, because they couldn't understand how come we couldn't put together a better group of young men to represent us. Came the final fight, 3 rounds, 3 minutes, and the American representative, I don't remember his name, was in the ring. He'd lost the first round. Everybody was standing, hoping that somehow he can pull this off. The other guy from Cuba was ahead on points. Everybody's wringing his hand. Oh man, what's going to happen here? It came to the third round, which is the deciding round, and the Cuban was far ahead on points. the American fans, Americans present in the arena, was wondering, looks like a goner. The American boxer was being coached, was being encouraged, being bolstered by his handlers, throwing water on his head. You've seen the fights. Those of you who can watch it. And he's being told, you gotta go for the goal. You gotta go. If he fires right, go over his hand. The minutes were counting down. And the American public and viewers were wondering, looks like a lost cause. I don't know if we can do this. We're not going to get the goal here. The young man was being wiped and washed and pampered and encouraged, shouted at. When he fires one hand, you go with the other. Go to the top. Go to his gut. You know the language of boxes. The Cuban fired. The American guy went for the top and he missed. The moments being counted down, and the viewers who were rooting for the Americans felt, well, doesn't look as though we're going to get a goal here. But somewhere in that tension, somewhere in that confusion, the young man remembered. Ferg was remembering all along, but he couldn't execute. The Cuban fired. The American boxer went over the top and connected. And before he knew it, the Cuban was on the ground, and the entire arena erupted with noise and screaming and shouts and hands raised, because that one singular punch that the American boxer threw gave him the fight and gave him the gold. Why? Because he knew what he had to do. Brethren, we've got to remember what we've got to do. And the basics of Christianity, I need to read your word every day. Well, I get up late and can't read on the job. Children running in. I got to see my television programs. You know what you're supposed to do. Is there any reason you're weak? And as Paul said, many fall asleep. Brethren, Jesus knew what he had to do. He would resort many times away from his disciples to find a quiet place, a prayer. For you to maintain your Christianity and do it well, triumphantly, jubilantly, meaningfully, you've got to always remember what you've got to do. On the job, you're laughing at things that you don't think represent Christ. You know what you got to do. Telling jokes around the office that aren't really God glorifying. You've got to remember what you've got to do. Just like the boxer, just like Jesus Christ, you've got to remember what you've got to do. And above that, you've got to do it. God is counting on you. Like Jesus Christ walked, knowing who he was, knowing what he had to do. Let us who see we follow Jesus Christ to do the same thing. John 17, you know what that is. Christ's prayer before his death in Gethsemane. Christ, God on his knees, prostrate before God. And he says, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 3. And he went on in verse 4 and said, I have given them your word. And now it's up to them to take it and run with it. Jesus knew who he was. Do you? Jesus knew what he had to do. Do you? In Luke chapter 2, you remember that story too. Toward verse 56, Jesus was a little fellow. And it's sad when people just get wrapped up with a baby Jesus and forget Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. We read that to you when we spoke about the saga in that story. Jesus was with his parents. They were in the temple. They'd gone up there for the feast of the Passover. But after a couple of days, children get tipsy and go about their business. After the feast was done, Jesus was lost in the crowd. Not intentionally. No one is impugning his parents with being careless and neglectful. But they were otherwise occupied while the young boy Jesus, 12 years old, was involved with his friends and didn't see where his parents went. That's illustrative of us. We can become so embroiled and so otherwise occupied that we lose Jesus in the crowd. They lost him for about a day. And then, where is Jesus? Is he with you? No, where is Jesus? And the hubbub started looking for this young child, Jesus. They went back in search of him, which we ought to do if we feel we've lost Jesus or we become otherwise occupied. It took them 3 days to find him. If you lose Jesus, how long would it take you to get back with him in his company to do what he's asked you to do? One day they lost him. But it took them 3 days to re-find him. And where was he? He was with the doctors and the lawyers and talking and engaged, completely engaged in what he was doing. And you remember Mary's mother ran in and said, "Where have you been? Your father and I have sought you sorrowing." Do you remember his retort? "I must be about my father's business." That is our business, brethren. We are walking like Jesus Christ because we have got to remember as he did. "I must be about my father's business." Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he had to do. The third point, how Jesus walked. He knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was. He knew what he had to do. And he knew where he was going. Those of you who drive usually need somebody in behind us blowing that horn and try it. I usually say to myself, "I know where I'm going. I don't know where you're going. I know where I'm going. And I know what it will take for me to get there." Jesus knew where he was going. I know that some of you might say, "Wait, he's going to heaven." You go to heaven? That's not the promise of the word. Jesus knew where he was going. John 14, verses 1 through 3. "I know where I'm going. In my Father's house, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me." Isn't that an equation? Jesus always equipped the fact that he and the Father were one. I and my Father are one. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We've understood that that means many offices. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He left the portals of glory. He came down to bring us salvation, but he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am. Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ was standing in Israel? Is it a typo? Where the writer said, where I am. Present tense. There you will be also. And you know, we teach, as God's word does, that the kingdom of God will occupy the earth. So you read that, where I am, there you will be also. Jesus knew where he was going. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we who name the name of Christ, you better know where you're going. There was a court jester, funny person, something I guess like Chris Rock. You know Chris Rock. Always has a funny line, eh? And he was in the palace one time, and they were talking about going someplace. And most of the people who were in the gala at the palace didn't know where they were going. I mean, they had their own objectives as to what life is all about. But he came out and he said, well, if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? The same as us, brethren. You got to know where you're going. I was bringing to the attention of a congregation one time that in Revelation chapter 21, it says that Jesus Christ will come back to the earth. If he's coming back to the earth, why are you going up to heaven? You're going to miss something. He's coming back to the earth. Revelation 21. Well, everybody wants to go to heaven. Jesus said to John, no man. Note his words. No man hath ascended to heaven. But yeah, what about Elijah? What about Enoch? You understand the practicality of those things. You remember that Elijah, they get that wrong too. 2 Kings 2. Elijah was taken to heaven. Didn't say in heaven. It said he was taken up in a whirlwind. Do you think a whirlwind can take someone into the portals of glory? The rest of the story, if you don't know it, he was deposited. God was transporting him from one place to another. He was found in another place. If you remember the story of the gentlemen who were in the college at that time in 2 Kings 2, they said, where did he go? Let's send somebody to find him. And after they were urging each other, they went and they looked. They didn't find him, because God was moving him from one location to the next. He had a replacement in Elisha. You know, there's an Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was coming on the scene to carry out the work of Elijah. That's why when Elisha was taken up in the world, when he said, Father, Father, let me have a double portion of your spirit. Because he had seen the performance and the procedures and the power of Elijah. And the only request was not take me to heaven with you. Let me have a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah had demonstrated that wonderfully when he separated the waters of the Jordan with his mantle. Elisha saw that. I want that kind of power. Brethren, Jesus knew where he was going. And he is going to prepare a place for us that we might be like him. Note Ephesians 5 and 15, telling us there that we need to be like Jesus Christ, and we need to demonstrate that likeness by having the Spirit of Christ in all our dealings and in all our doings. So Jesus Christ knew who he was. Jesus Christ knew what he had to do. Point two. Point three. Jesus Christ knew where he was going. We got to get that clear in our head, brethren. Else we'll go to the wrong place and Christ wouldn't be there. You're going up and he's coming down. That doesn't make for togetherness at all. So read Ephesians 5, 15 through 18 and that'll be fine. And finally, Jesus walked knowing his Father's plan. Knowing his Father's plan. Do you know what God's plan is? Oh, that's presumptive, Mr. Morris. Okay, you don't know what God's going to do. I have a sermon to give one of these days. And the sermon title is, what is God doing? In face of Al-Qaeda? In face of the wars and the rumors of wars and the problems of the devil or world? What is God doing? That is the subject. Excuse me. And I'll give that to you sometime in the not distant future. Jesus walked knowing his Father's plan. If you're a bumbling Christian, that's not God's fault. God has laid out for us methodically, chronologically, what his plan is. Do you know what God's plan is? We have what we understand in the Word of God as the holy days. And the holy days are, in effect, God laying out his plan as to what he will do. Plan one is the Passover. Plan two are the other holy days. Days of separation, putting sin out of our lives. That's our daily control on our daily striving to put sin away. Then you have Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. That is a necessity for overcoming in the Christian life. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're weak. You'll be stumbling. You'll be staggering. You'll be fighting with, can I get rid of sin, or do I have to just continually sin every day in word, thought, and deed, as many teach? But God's plan is laid out for us. That's why every year we go through the holy days, in season, as Paul said to Timothy, and out of season, striving to remember God's plan and what God will have us to understand. Jesus knew his Father's plan. His Father's plan was the reconciliation of mankind to himself. God's plan, from the time of Adam's transgression in the garden, was to bring Adam back, and all of his progeny, all of his children, wherever they are. As the gentleman said in the sermonette, no matter what race you are, God's plan is bring all mankind back to himself. The Israelites had the substitutionary sacrifices of lambs, and goats, and bulls, and pigeons. But that, as Hebrews said, was not enough. Jesus had to come. People were saying, what all that brutality in the Passion of the Christ is all about? What's all of that about? Well, Christ had to suffer for the sins of the world. The lambs had to get their throats cut. Why would God be sacrificed with something so brutal? You remember who was the first sacrificer? God. God was the first sacrificer after Cain and Abel and their problems. After Adam and Eve sinned, God was the first sacrificer. Emblematic of what his son would do. He was the one who killed the goat, the lamb, took off its skin. God created it that. Yes, he did. It had to be done so human beings could understand the extent of God's love for us. Adam and Eve had clothed themselves in leaves. Temporary. Gonna have to change them every couple of minutes. God was showing the permanence and the extent of his sacrifice. Killed the lamb and covered them with the skins of the lamb. What is man's attempt at pleasing God? Fig leaves. This will work. Wouldn't work. Cannot work. God sacrificed one of his created animals and made them coats of skin. So Jesus knew his Father's plan. The plan was to reconcile man back to God, bring him back. And what do we find? Man is running as far from God as he can, trying to keep away from God. Jesus knew the plan of God was the reconciliation of man through redemption. Christ had to die. Christ had to give his life. That sacrifice would be the only thing that can bridge the gap between God in high heaven and man on the earth. He knew that plan, and he was not about to frustrate the plan of God. Back to John 12 and 32. And I, if I be lifted up, had to be lifted up on that cross, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus Christ, brethren, knew who he was. Jesus knew what he had to do. Jesus knew where he was going. And Jesus knew the plan of God. With that knowledge, he walked proudly. He walked boldly. He walked fearlessly. He walked confidently. Because he knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. Do you walk the streets of New York confidently and proudly? I am a child of God. Or are you? I'm not sure if I'm a child of God. You ought to know. Jesus knew. And he was not derailed. He was not sidetracked. No matter what came. The week before he was crucified, they hailed him king. Shows you what lording somebody is. And if you don't have it clear in your head what you're supposed to do, where are you going? He didn't let the lauding and the plaudits and the accolades of the crowds get him all distracted. One time he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Because he knew what he was about. Peter was trying to talk him out of doing things. He said, "No, I know what I got to do. This is what I got to do." He said to the disciples one time, "I must go to Jerusalem." "Yeah, but, they're planning to kill you." He said it when he was 12. "I must be about my Father's business. And brethren, we have got to determine no matter what comes. I've been called of God. I am going to follow God. I'm going to do God's will in my life. Because I know what I've got to do." If you will turn again to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we walk, the word is walk, walking as Jesus did. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We can live and coexist with our brethren. Even those who aren't brethren, we can coexist with them. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, walk as Jesus walked. At your calling. And finally, keep walking, because the steps of a good man are ordered